it's very rare to come across an interior designer who just focuses on home theaters. You don't do it absolutely exclusively, but I think you told me it's about 90% of your work. So, you know, just tell me what path led you to that. I'm assuming it's where you wanted to go, but, you know, just give me a little bit of history behind that, please.
Actually, for me, it was a long path and kind of a long story. But anyway, when a designer finishes their education in their school, we have to choose between commercial design and residential design. And at the beginning of my career, I chose commercial design. I wanted to use the skills I learned, and I wanted to really create these custom spaces. And I didn't want to choose furniture and paint colors. I mean, just choose that. I mean, I still do, obviously.
Right.
But I also didn't want to design kitchens and bathrooms. So I really love the development that's part of commercial design. And I love the big spaces and all of the intricate details. So that's where my career started, commercial design, retail stores. But then after having designed several hundred retail spaces, like all over the world, my work became really embedded in me. Like I was totally immersed. And although I was really good at it, it took over my life. Like it was difficult. It was difficult for a woman with a family. So I started considering changing careers, but I didn't want to lose all the knowledge and all the experience that I had acquired over the first 15 years of my career. And like I mentioned, like I really love the concept development and I really love the design process. And most of all, I love finalizing a project and seeing the outcome, like that feeling of accomplishment and satisfaction. It was so fulfilling and it still is really. But at the time, and this is like 20 years ago, I felt like I was facing a turning point. So that's when I started looking for something else. And that's when I designed and built my own home theater. And actually, the timing was pretty perfect because I was also designing my own custom home. And so basically, I started some research and planned the space, like, you know, typical theater, no windows, the perfect size. And I think we had like a 110-inch screen. And we had three rows of seating, and we designed it the space so the ceiling was high enough so we had no ducts and we had no obstructions to deal with. And oh my God, Mike, I loved that theater. Like it, you know, it was like I spent every free moment I had in it. Like it was my escape from reality room, literally. And I really needed it at the time. And then, I don't know, one day it just hit me. I realized that I could pivot my career. I could go from being a commercial designer to a custom home theater designer. But I, at the same time, I knew I had to learn more. I knew that, and I also knew that I needed allies. And I went to a local trade show, a sound and image show, or Son et Image in Montreal.
Right.
And yeah, and I just introduced myself. I introduced myself as a home theater designer, even though I had never designed home theaters before. I just said, hey, I'm a home theater designer. And I met an editor from the TED magazine, which was, well, it still exists, Tendencies of Electronics and Design. And they were known at that time, they were known as Quebec Audio and Video. And he, the editor, he convinced me to advertise in the magazine. And then he introduced me to the owners of a high-end audio video store here, Filion. And remember, like I didn't have any home theater experience at the time. And I knew I needed the experience to break the ice, to break like into this whole new industry for me. So I designed a prototype that was imaginary and it was bigger than, you know, the one that I had. And I was inspired to design this prototype by some photographs that I saw in another magazine that I picked up at the trade show. And it was a theater that was designed by the one and only Theo Kalamarakis, right? So he totally inspired me. So I designed this prototype, and then I met with the owners of the high-end audio video store. I presented this design, and I was honest with them. I told them, you know, I'd never designed a home theater before except for my own, low budget and very simple. And I offered my services to them free of charge to one of their clients. But I said only for the first stage of the design, like I would do, like, I don't know if you're aware or not, but like basically we, when we design any project, we have like the concept, which is the first phase. And then we have the working drawings, which is the second phase.
Right.
So I said, okay, I'll do the concept, no charge. Like I'll be happy. Like I'll volunteer to do the concept, no charge. And they found me the perfect client who was willing to accept this. And then this, if they, I told them if they, the client liked the work on the concept, then, you know, I'll work with them for the next phase and I'll only bill for that phase. And they said, okay, great. So believe me, like I put my heart into that project, like blood, sweat, and tears, like everything that I could do went all the way. And the client was super delighted. The integrator was really impressed. And of course, you know, I was very fulfilled. And it being my first home theater that I designed, it was published in the magazine and featured on the cover of the magazine. So it was really, really amazing. So basically that trade show was extremely beneficial and rewarding. Right. Like I met, you know, like I met the right people. I even took a 1-hour CEDIA introductory course. I discovered Theo Kalamarakis and his career. And now I had like a new idol to follow, right? So yeah, yeah, that's pretty much how it, how my path led me to specializing in this. It's passion, you know, I just love it. Yeah.
Well, that sort of feeds into my next question, which is why do you feel you're so strongly drawn towards home theater?
I just found that, you know, my own experience was the love of the total experience, you know, being able to close that door and immerse yourself. You know, you didn't have to go out. You don't have to go out. You have it in your home. You just, you can go in your PJs with a glass of wine or a bowl of popcorn or whatever. And I wanted to share that. And I thought that was, you know, a way for me to really enjoy my work. It just seemed to be a total no-brainer.
Right. This may not be relevant, but what influence did your commercial experience have on your home theater design when you were starting out?
Actually, it's pretty relevant because commercial design, like I was designing for retail, high-end retail or medium to high-end retail. And we designed everything from hang rails to hang clothing on to shelves and brackets and displays, metal systems. We designed custom lighting. Like we really, really went all the way in our design. So it was really relevant. And with that background, I felt like, you know, I had the knowledge and the skills and I had the resources. And that was amazing because I really loved the people that I worked with right. commercial design. So yeah. It was really beneficial to have that background. You know, I don't think that I would have been as successful at the beginning if I didn't have that background. Like if I was just with all due respect to, you know, residential interior designers, because there's a lot that you have to know and understand. I don't think that I would have had the success at the beginning. I think I would have had to develop it a lot over time.
It just occurred to me that, and I know you know this, but there's something inherently theatrical about retail design.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially creating a stage for something and trying to draw attention to it in a way that, you know, traditional residential design wouldn't necessarily go there, right?
That's right. That's very true.
Because then, you know, one of my questions was a typical interior designer can design, and I don't mean to disparage anybody, but they can design an entertainment space, but it's such a specialized thing. So what would you say you bring to it that a typical designer would, when somebody asks you to design a theater room?
Well, what do I bring to it besides experience? You mean?
In terms of skill set, a typical designer who's doing kitchens, bedrooms, or whatever is going to be, I would think, and I'm assuming here, is going to be lacking some of the skill set necessary to properly execute a theater.
Exactly. In my case, yeah, experience, of course, because I've been doing it for quite a while. Passion. You have to be passionate about your work. You have to want it, you know? Yeah, it's been over 20 years for me since I designed my first home theater. And I have learned a lot along the way. And I've luckily had the opportunity to work with high-end audio video integrators and acoustic specialists and engineers. And thank God for them, because they taught me a lot. And I was willing to learn. Like, I was there wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, like, teach me, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. Like, typical designers, they have to wear many hats. Like, you have to be conscious of many different materials and finishes. And we have to address cold compliances, building code compliances, accessibilities, handicap needs. So yeah, you have to be able to properly lay out a space, like we call it space planning. You have to draft proposals and present design concepts to the clients, and then you have to follow through with the execution. Even though, you know, you're not building it yourself, but you have to be there as a designer every step of the way. You can't just do the plans and hand it off and say, okay, you build it, goodbye. No, you have to be there. Yeah. It's a responsibility. So, but being a home theater designer, you have to have all of those skills that an interior designer has, plus the technical attributes. And those technical attributes are specific to theater design. Like, you know, you have to be able to integrate the equipment. That's the most important thing. Integrating the equipment in the space, determining the sweet spot for everybody in the room. Like, you know, you can't place speakers anywhere, and you have to make sure the screen is installed at the right height. Right. And, you know, and then there's obviously the seating has to be situated appropriately. And then there's the whole, what kind of materials do we use? The materials used in a theater are extremely important. Like, you can't use hard surfaces like ceramic and glass, and you have to stay away from like marbles and granites. And then obviously you have to add soft absorptive materials, but not too much, because you don't want the sound to be too flat or too dull. So there's all these equations you have to use. And yeah, typical designers, they're just not aware of them. Like, we don't learn this in school. It's experience and asking questions. Mm-hmm. And then there's the lighting. Like, don't forget about the lighting. I love lighting. And I really love indirect lighting too. And lighting it's technical, you know, you have to consider the light output, the wattage, but also like the photometrics of the light and the Kelvin temperature and the color rendering index. We call it a CRI, right? The beam spread, like what light do you put at 10 feet? And there's a different beam spread that you would use at 7 feet. So there's a lot to consider. And today, now what's really cool is we're starting to use human-centric lighting.
Right.
And this is really an interesting aspect of lighting, really exciting. So there's a lot to consider in a private theater, as you can imagine, especially when it's a dedicated room. So basically, a home theater designer, a typical designer, will bring all of this experience a typical designer has, and then have the ability to integrate with the appropriate equipment and speakers, and you have to be able to work parallel with the integrator, mm-hmm. you know, because they're the ones that will propose the equipment. So you have to follow their lead in that way. And at the same time, you have to please the clients and follow their vision and maximize their entertainment experience. So I would say, combined with my experience, is my passion, because I'm really passionate about my work. I really want to create that wow factor, because clients can't afford to have this unique, one-of-a-kind, exclusive space. And that's the goal, really.
there's still a lot of designers who recoil at the idea of doing anything that involves a lot of technology, especially AV technology. Mm-hmm. Why do you think you're more comfortable with that?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I had a brother who used to install car stereos, and my father was a real love for music. You know, I have a lot of musicians in my family. I guess it was kind of surrounded by it in the background, although, you know, I wasn't really educated on the technology. Like, my dad was the first person that I knew that had a cell phone or an email address. I don't know. I guess I was interested. I'm interested in it. I still am. You know, I can't say that I'm, you know, an expert in technology, but I can follow the integrators. I understand what they're talking about. And that's really important, because the integrators, they want to work with the designer who understands why they're specifying certain equipment, you know? That's really important.
No, I just wanted to ask, because so many people just assume the technology is going to junk up their design.
Yeah.
But having started, you know, doing theaters, you understand how important it is to make sure that, you know, it has to be integrated, or else you don't have room.
Okay. I was just going to say, now you can't avoid it. You know, like even there's even technology in our bathrooms today. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
So in a certain sense, people who've done home theater were ahead of the curve as far as how to understand how to integrate the tech.
Yeah, I think so. You're absolutely right.
Typically, because I want to talk a little bit about the nitty gritty of the process with clients. How do people find out about you? Is it mainly a word of mouth thing? And if it is, who is passing those referrals along?
Well, I've never really advertised, besides that little ad that I put in a magazine 20 yeah. years ago. Okay. I never really advertised. And I have to admit, I never really keep track of how my clients come to me. But, and unluckily, knock on wood, like, I've always been busy. And although business sometimes has its highs and lows with anybody, like, I've been lucky enough, I've never had a dry period. That being said, I do realize that I get a lot of referrals from clients and integrators. And I've worked with, like, previous clients more than once. And it's really amazing when they call me back, of course. And it's like, it's the ultimate compliment when they refer me to their best friend or their friends or sister-in-law, brother-in-law, whatever, which has happened like 4 times in the last few months, you know. Right. But besides referrals, I would say I receive the majority of my clients through my website, like people searching for theater designer and social media. Like, I would say on my social media platforms, it's the... probably the best one is LinkedIn. It's like very professional platform. Mm. And then House. That's pretty good too for residential design. Like, LinkedIn is more commercial design. Like, I've gotten quite a few restaurant clients through there. But social media in general, I think is really great for branding. You have to be out there.
But it sounds like it's very organic for you. You don't have to go out there and like do a lot of advertising, really promote yourself. Your work speaks for itself.
Well, I try really hard. Like, I really do. It's important to me, my work. You know, it says a lot about, you know, who I am. And yeah, it's really important to me.
So I wanted to see if you could walk me through how it typically goes for you when you're working with a client for the first time. What's the initial meeting like? Is there a typical meeting, or does it tend to be very much driven by that individual and their needs?
I'd say it's a little of both. I mean, that's a good question. Like, on one hand, I like to go with the flow, especially during a first meeting. You know, you got to get a feel for the client. So, but on the other hand, like, we really have to establish the process. But there's always a first telephone call before the first meeting, right? So during the telephone call, I have the opportunity to explain the process and talk about my fee. And then during the call, I'll set the tone for our first meeting. Like, I'll say, I'll tell the client, you know, I'm going to come and measure the space. I'll present my portfolio. I'll review my services with you. And then we'll go over, you know, the mandate. But one of the most important things for me to do in a first meeting is listen and observe. Like, it's really, really important to understand what the client's expectations are. I have to almost be the client and know what the client likes and what the client wants. And at the same time, like I have to utilize my experience and share my expertise. But I have to admit, like often when I meet a client, it's the first time that this person or this family has ever had a home theater in their home. So mm-hmm. they really need someone to help them through it. They,
right.
Yeah. So they're going to ask a lot of questions and then I have to take the time to answer them. But it's not always possible to give specific solutions in a first meeting. Like sometimes they expect me to have all the answers right away, but it's not possible. You really, really have to sit down and prepare space planning studies and determine what works best in a specific space because every space is different. So yeah, it's almost like when we're designing a home theater, it's kind of like putting together a puzzle in a way. You have to make sure you've included all of the pieces and you put them in the right spot.
This is a generalization, but how aware are clients, again, in general, of what their options are? Do they tend to be aware of like screen technologies or what's going on with projectors or whatever? Or do you have to do a lot of educating early on?
Well, it depends on the client. I'd say maybe 50% of my clients are aware of the options, of what the options are available, and then 50% are not aware. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, if a client is referred to me by an integrator, then they're pretty much aware of the options because the integrator has already started the process, right? In this case, it often happens that they've even selected their equipment and their screen before they even meet me. So they've got a really good head start. But now that I think about it, if that's the case, I often enhance what the integrator recommends. So I'll usually add like lighting systems to their plan, which, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes they don't even think about, motorized drapes.
Right.
And then I'll sometimes suggest an extra subwoofer or a bigger screen. And I think that you really have to let the clients know what is available. Like whether you're a designer or an integrator, you have to let them know what's available. You have to show them what's out there. Show them the best of the best and let the client choose. I've always thought that way. I never assume that the client can't afford anything. Unless they give me a set budget. If they say, hey, Maria, I don't want to spend more than, then in that case, it's different. So, but if they don't, then instead, I look for what's suitable for them based on, you know, what we've determined at the beginning of the project launch. You know, and basically I don't base solutions or proposals on price. You just can't. It's really up to the client.
Mm-hmm.
But something that's surprising is that many people, they don't think they have the space for a dedicated theater. But I think they really just don't have the ability to see the opportunities. You know, like some people, they just can't visualize. And this happens often in an existing home. You know, when you have a new home, it's different because you plan for it in advance. But if you have an existing home and then you want to put in a theater and the home is built and they finished all the rooms, they kind of see the home for what it is, not for what it could be, you know. And then, you know, it's hard for them to visualize it. So it's hard for them to see how they can renovate it. And this is where my space planning skills really help, or, you know, any designer's space planning skills can really help. Like we take the existing plan, we move around a few walls or add a few walls to make it happen. And this is also where 3D renderings can really clarify the concept.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really important.
And I'm not saying that your experiences should in any way parallel Theo's. I'm just using this for a reference point. I know that when he goes to design a theater room, he doesn't feel an obligation to take the decor of the rest of the home into account.
Mm-hmm.
What is your approach to that? And well, first off, how do clients, I'm not even sure how to ask this question, but basically, is there a conversation early on about whether this is going to follow the style of the rest of the home, or do you make a case for this being a sort of a world unto itself?
Yes, there definitely is that conversation. And that's why I think it's really important to meet with the client in the home to kind of see what they have I always ask them, like, do you want to carry the design of your home into the home theater? And I cross my fingers and I hope they say no, because, you know, going back to the escape room, like, I have always felt that a home theater is an escape from not only from the rest of the home, but from, you know, your life and your work and your, the stress. And, you know, the home theater is the fun. It's your passion. It's like, it's your entertainment. So it should be different. That's my philosophy. So I like to be able to create something new and totally different. That's not like the rest of the home. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, it is different. You know, like, they'll put a color in the home theater that they won't use in the rest of the home. Like, I have this famous purple home theater that I designed that everybody loves. But, you know, you wouldn't put that much purple in the rest of your home.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, it's a special space. It's a special space and it should be treated that way.
Is there anything else about the interaction with the client that we should talk about that we didn't cover?
Well, I think that I just want to put out there that interacting with the client is really important. I've had a couple of projects where I was hired by an integrator and it was a really high profile client. So I only was able to meet with the client once and I didn't have the opportunity to, you know, really share the process of the project along with the client. And I missed it. I mean, it was a very successful theater, don't get me wrong.
Right.
And the integrator did a fantastic job with everything, but I really missed the interaction. So I think personally that, you know, having a direct contact with high-end clients is paramount. Really, really important.
The last thing I wanted to ask you about, I wrote a column about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, coming out of the 08 recession, you know, a lot of designers, I heard this from Theo, but I heard this from other people, were starting to become convinced that home theater had had its day and that it was going to gravitate towards media rooms. And they were trying to figure out how they felt about that because they saw the number of home theater commissions drop off.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly, when the pandemic started, we saw kind of a reversal takeover. Because people
yes.
suddenly appreciated, like you were saying, having some place to escape to where the world wasn't descending on them. And it became just that idea of a world unto itself. And suddenly the commissions are back. Suddenly there's a new appreciation for home theater. Now mm-hmm. I'm saying that, but my question is, has that been your experience? Or how have you seen it play out over, say, the last 10 to 15 years?
Oh, my. Yes. The pandemic has really revitalized the home theater market. And although I've designed my share of media rooms, you know, a lot of the spaces that I've designed that are considered home theaters, but kind of media rooms, you know, like with motorized screen and a big screen TV as well, or kind of open in the house. Like, I have designed my share of media rooms, but private dedicated home theaters are back. Like, and seriously, can you blame us? Like, we were forced to stay home and we were saturated with these news programs and social distancing. So, like, what better way to escape that mass information is like to immerse ourselves in watching movies or binging on TV series.
Right.
And like, it's for me, like, no better way to do it in a dedicated room where you can just close the door and really, really just get away. Personally, my experience in my business, like, I've designed twice as many home theaters in this past year.
Yeah.
At least twice as many. And they keep coming, you know?
Do you think it's going to last? Do you think we're into another golden age here?
I do. I really do. And I really hope it does. I just love this whole industry. And I think that the home theater has evolved. Like, a lot of people don't want necessarily the standard theater seats. You know, we're changing the look a little bit. It's a little more relaxed and a little
right.
more modern. It's not as palace-y as it used to be. Much more, you know, it's still very luxurious. Like, the designs are still very luxurious, but they're more loungy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see like bars coming back into the home theaters and much more casual type of seating. But for me, the upturn in business didn't start right away. Like, it took several months before it really started. But now, seriously, wow. People are really spending money on their homes, and they want it to be spectacular, and they want it now, you know, like, yeah, that part hasn't changed. Like, yeah, and it's fun.
I never would have guessed, but it's been amazing to watch it happen.
Yeah, that's so true. So true.
So is there anything else important you wanted to cover that I didn't ask about?
I don't think so. I think you really, you know, did a good job on everything that was necessary to talk about. I think I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity, though, Mike. This has been really, really fun. I love educating people on, you know, designers and how designers can help them. It's important to get. One thing, though, is very important to mention is that what's important for a successful design is to get started, first of all, way ahead of time and plan for it in advance, you know, especially if you're building a new home. Like, we really need to have the high ceilings. And
that's a good point, because a lot of designers talk about that. To this day, home entertainment spaces tend to be treated almost as an afterthought.
Exactly. I have a client, a recent client, who's had his home under renovation for 2 years. And I was brought into the equation at the very end of the project. And it was exactly that. I mean, they knew they wanted to have a home theater, and they kind of had a space for it. But when I came into the equation, like, it was already too late to make changes. And it was rush, you know, like, we need it now and we can't make any changes. So there was no flexibility, and it was really disappointing. Although the theater turned out beautiful, don't get me wrong, but it could have been so much better.
Yeah. The irony is, and you well know this, is a theater can be the most engineered room in a house.
Mm-hmm.
So to leave that to last, where everything is just making up for the shortcomings, just makes no sense at all.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really important. Get us involved early on, and let's plan for it properly. That's really, really important.
Okay, good. I'm glad you brought that up.
My pleasure.